Job chapter 14, verse 1 says this, "Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble, full of turmoil, full of problems." Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:33, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good courage, I have overcome the world." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And this morning, we want to talk about trouble. We want to talk about problems. We want to talk about storms and the difficulties of life and how we are to handle the problems that come our way. How do we reconcile a good God with what insurance companies call an act of God? When the storm comes, when the hurricane comes, when something unexpected comes that couldn't be really prepared for, it just comes upon you and shakes your life, some unwanted, unwarranted situation, that phone call that comes and just rattles your world. How do we respond to that? Now, to begin the program today, I have my good friend Dr. Tom Askell on the line. Dr. Tom Askell is the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. And Cape Coral got the brunt of the Hurricane Ian, that came through just in the last week or so. And right at Fort Myers and Naples and Cape Coral, all of those are real close together. And so, Tom, welcome to the program today.
Jeff, thank you so much, brother, for having me on. It's good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you, my friend. Tell me, boots on the ground, how are things in Florida today?
Yeah, well, by God's grace, we are seeing some improvement, you know, slow and steady. And that doesn't mean that things are anywhere close to being back to normal. That's not going to happen. And we've lived through a few of these things, but this is the most significant one, certainly in my lifetime here. I've been here 36 years and saw Andrew that came in from the other coast and blew across, and then Charlie was the most devastating one for us prior to Ian. That was back in 2004. But Charlie was intense and small and fast, and Ian was intense and big and slow. And so we're just, I gauge it's probably about 10 times worse than Charlie. And so what we've learned through the years, Jeff, is that they're just phases. You know, you go through phases and dealing with the aftermath. And the most immediate and urgent is relief, just trying to get people safe, trying to get people in a situation where they can get their feet under them and be helped. A lot of people in shock. You know, we have people in our church that yesterday, they're just still realizing they're in shock because of the loss. They weren't even aware of what they needed when some of our other people finally got to them and helped them to sort out things that they have to relocate. They can't live where they've been living because it's gone, and they've tried. You know, they stay. You think, well, this is crazy, but we had one of our dear ladies, and she was staying in a house that was just infected with mold. She had to swim out in 5 feet of water during the storm to get to a neighbor's house, and then she went back, and she put up a tent in her backyard and thought, well, I can just kind of stay here. Well, there's no way. And so people are like that. You just got to get them relief. But then after that, which we're still in that process of trying to bring relief, getting to the tail end of it, then you got recovery. And it's okay. And what do we do now to kind of make things livable for the next few months or maybe longer, so that you can get to recovery? Recovery will be a years long process. And so we're moving through it. You know, we're, by God's grace, we didn't lose any of our members. Everybody's accounted for. Can't say that for other churches in the area. I met with a church that was out on Sanibel, met with what was left of their membership last week, and is heartbroken because they've got people they haven't heard from that they will not hear from. And and God spared us that. So by His grace, I want to say that we're standing, and God's helped us to minister to the community. We've given out, I don't know how many tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of supplies, everything from generators to water bottles, and trying to just help our community survive right now and get through this.
Now, Tom, how far are you from the coast?
Oh, as a bird flies, we're, you know, just a couple of miles, 2 or 3 miles. We actually are right at the mouth of the Caloosahatchee River, where it goes into the Gulf of Mexico. So Cape Coral is right there.
So was the damage more water than wind or equal?
It was both, yeah. I've been back here looking at things. I don't get much news. I mean, we still without internet, and, you know, just stuck. People tell me about things they've seen on the internet. People call me or text me, say, "Oh man, we just saw this." Well, they've seen more than I have. Yeah. But I've looked at the size of the storm on some meteorological maps, and this thing was massive. And it came right over Cape Coral. I mean, we were in the eye of the storm for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Got the front end of it, the back end of it. At least a large part of Cape Coral got that, and certainly our church, my house, most of my children's houses, a lot of church members' houses, just got the full brunt of it. And so it was wind and the storm surge. The storm surge, this lady I was just telling you about, that's what got her. They just talked to a man last night from our church, and he said he literally watched the water coming up through the storm drains.
Just, oh, wow.
You know, it's usually where the water goes out.
Right.
It started coming up through there, rising. You know, so it was like white caps at his porch, right to his door. By God's grace, it didn't get into his house, but he was, you know, fully prepared for that, and it got into a lot of houses. So you look at that, and then right a block away from our church facilities, there's several semi-tractor trailers that were blown over. One of them still in the middle of the road. They've not been able to figure out. It got damaged pretty bad when it blew over, so they haven't quite figured out how to turn it upright yet. Both. We got both.
Did the church flood?
No, we did not flood. We got severe roof damage, and our AC units got damaged. A lot of the fencing around the church got severely damaged, and our electrical system got hit pretty hard from what we can tell. We got some power back, but not full power. And so that's kind of a balancing act, too. You know, how much of this is the power company needing to get all three phases into our facilities, and how much of this is not working, you know, electrical and all kind of audio equipment and everything else that this hadn't been fully tested, but we're pretty confident that a lot of that has been damaged. But no water. We had leaks because of the damage to the roof. I mean, we sustained from the best information we can gather, we sustained 140 mile an hour plus winds for hours. And I mean, that's devastating.
Now, didn't you tell me your kids stayed in Cape Coral? They rode out the storm?
They did, man. They did. And, you know, they're doing well. Houses damaged. Every one of them had damage to their houses. None of them got floodwaters into their house, again, by God's grace, because a couple of them live in flood zones, as we do. But no water into the houses. But, you know, roof, one of them had a hole just completely through the roof, size of a baseball. It looks like they had a trampoline, and the guess is that the trampoline that was destroyed and disappeared probably blew on top of the roof and punctured the roof all the way through. Another had three sides of the house, the siding blown off of it, all kind of roof damage and trees and fences and things like that. But they're all safe. And I think everybody now has at least some electricity back in terms of our six kids. So we're grateful for that.
Debbie and I, we lived through Hurricane Fran years ago when I was at seminary, and we were hurricane ignorant, and we didn't know, hey, you need to board things up and, you know, that kind of thing. And just by God's, we slept through it. By God's grace, we didn't get hurt. But, man, there were trees down everywhere at Southeastern Seminary, and it was serious. So that had to be extremely frightening for your kids.
Yeah, it was. I mean, because this storm, you could put Hurricane Charley from 2004 inside the eye of Hurricane Ian. When it came on the shore, the eye was estimated to be 55 miles wide, which is just crazy to be that big. You know, I think, Jeff, I spoke to you right after the hurricane, and we were still in Colorado. My wife and I had planned a vacation, and we've not been able to get back. We were able to cut short things and get back here Friday after the storm. But at that time, I didn't know what was going to happen to my house because we didn't have a window covered on our house. We didn't have any kind of shutters or plywood. Our kids had done the best they could to get stuff up out of the yard, and they put stuff up on shelves in the house because we fully expected to be flooded. And to the praise of God's kindness and mercy, you look at our house, if you could take an aerial photo of our house, you would see trees as big as 18 inches, 24 inches in diameter, snapped into that crisscrossed the yard and look like a game of pickup sticks, you know, that old job game, with our house in the middle untouched. And we had a few things dent a roof, but nothing. I mean, it's amazing. We were able to get in our house, and we're living there now without electricity. We got partial electricity, but no AC and no water. But, you know, God's... I'm amazed. We Don and I reconciled ourselves to the fact that we would come back to a house that had been completely destroyed. But despite all that wind and damage around us, not one window cracked. And that's a testimony to God's mercies.
Praise the Lord. Well, Tom, how can people help, people that want to help? I know we've been praying for Florida, but are there some specific needs that you guys have or you see in the community that our listeners could help with?
Yeah, you know, and people have been so kind. And Jeff, your church, I mean, thank you for your kindness and generosity to us. The needs have shifted. You know, when people have asked that question last week, I said, man, we need this, we need water, we need food. And by the time those supplies got here, and some we've had to tell as of yesterday, look, we don't need any more water. We've got plenty of water now. we don't need any more clothing. We've got plenty of clothing now. So the needs shift. And really the best thing going forward would just be financial needs.
Okay.
So many people, we're trying to rebuild roofs. We're trying to help people get where they can live. We need to relocate several people that just cannot stay where they were living prior to the storm. They, at least temporarily, some of them permanently, are going to have to be relocated. So any kind of financial gifts that folks wanted to give would be greatly appreciated. We'll steward them the best way that we know how. And that right now, with the changing scenario, Pine Island is not far from us. Some of our people live out on Pine Island. The roads were, bridges were washed out. And by God's grace, through the ingenuity of some local contractors and our governor, DeSantis, the bridge out to Pine Island was restored a couple of days ago. And so we're able to get supplies out there. So now they're good. Somebody donated some two-way radios to us so that because communications were down all across the island. Well, now communications are beginning to come back. And so really, because of the needs change so much, if we had finances available that would help us to meet the needs as they arise that we can't even fully anticipate right now, that would be the best way to help. And I appreciate you asking.
Amen. Well, you can go online to and look up Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, and you can get the information there about the church, and you can send that to Tom, and he will distribute that appropriately, and you can know that they're not skimming off the top. They're going to take your gift, and they're going to make sure it goes to the people in need. So, Tom, I appreciate you, my friend. It's a privilege for our church to send you some help and to just pray for you guys. And so we have just about 30, 45 seconds. Tom, can you lead us in a prayer?
Yeah, sure will. Father, we thank you that the winds and the waves that obeyed Jesus' voice when he walked on earth still obey you. And we thank you for the mercies you show us in Christ every day because of his death and resurrection. So help your people to hope and trust in you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we're talking about storms. We're talking about troubles and difficulties in life. They come into every life. How do we handle those things? Man who is born of woman, Job said, is short-lived and full of trouble. But the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our trouble. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
the director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asks to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a Southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Think how different your life would be if you really believed that you, little old you, were a person whom Jesus loves. You let that settle in your heart and it blows you away every time you think about it. Wow.
Discover how to have a life that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. As you may have heard in that commercial in between the segments, From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we're talking about trouble in life, problems in life. Hey, man who is born of woman, as Job said, is short-lived and full of trouble. He's full of turmoil. He's full of problems. Now, if you got here any other way than being born of a woman, you might be excused, but that seems to cover all of us, and life is filled with trouble. That's why Jesus said, hey, in the world, you have tribulation. You have distress and pressures and problems and difficulties, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world, so you can trust me. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Perhaps you're in trouble today, big time trouble. Maybe something is hanging over your head, a test result over your health to determine whether this is cancer, this is benign, or it's malignant, and you are stressing over that. Hey, Psalm 46, cease striving, let go, relax, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Now, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is Mark chapter 4, the account where Jesus calms the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And in Mark's rendition and his focus on this passage, he says this, and on that day, When evening had come, Jesus had been preaching all day. He said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Hey, the disciples were in trouble, serious trouble. You know, most of the disciples were fishermen. Peter and James and John were in the fishing business together. They had been on the Sea of Galilee many, many times, and they had no doubt been in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. But I think this storm was probably the worst storm they had ever been on before. I mean, they thought they were going down. "Lord, do you not care that we are perishing?" they said. And Jesus used this situation. He brought it about. It says in Matthew's gospel that he gave orders to them to get in the boat and to depart to the other side. And we can learn so much about how to handle a storm, because you have storms, I have storms, we have storms. Everyone has problems in life. Now, we have little problems, just daily irritation things, the computer crashes, you lose your car keys, you know, the kids get sick, whatever, you know, not deathly ill, but they get some kind of cold, or they get the flu, they have to stay home, and you have to stay home because you have no one to watch the kids. We have those kinds of things happen on a regular basis. But then we have big storms that hit. I mean, the big storm that the doctor says you have cancer, you're going to have surgery and chemo. The big storm of the plant is shutting down, or we're contracting and you're going to lose your job. The big storm that happens when a husband says to his wife, or a wife says to her husband, "I don't want to be married to you anymore." Those are major, major things. Those are major storms where you feel like you're going down. How about the big storm of losing your spouse to death, or losing a child? How horrible that is, to lose a child, especially a young child, to death. And you just say, "Where is God in all of this? And how am I supposed to keep going? And how can there be life after this loss?" Well, we learn some principles in Mark chapter 4 about how to handle the storm, how to handle the difficulties of life, some things to remember, important things to remember when we're going through a storm. Number one, remember the Lord's promises. When you're going through a storm, that's the time to cling to the Lord's word. He said in Matthew's gospel, "Let us go over to the other side." Hey guys, we're going over to the other side. Let's get in the boat. We'll go over to the other side. He didn't say anything about let's go and get in the boat and go in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and drown in a storm. No, he said we're going over to the other side. Now, when the storm comes, Jesus is asleep. He had been teaching all day, teaching and preaching. Hey, teaching and preaching make you tired. He is asleep in the back of the boat. And the guys are, they're experiencing this storm, and the waves are, it's a fierce gale of wind. It's this huge wind that's blowing the water into the boat, and they're trying to bail out the water, but it's coming in much, much faster than they can bail it out. And it says the boat was filling up, and they thought they were going under. Hey, you might be like that today. You might think you're going under. Remember the Lord's promises. Isaiah 43, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You remember the promises that he gives us. You remember the fact that you can cling to his word, and if he says he's going to do something, he will do it. I like what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, the last chapter he ever penned. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory. Listen, in life, you know, bad things can happen to the point of death, and that's okay. Paul got his head cut off. After he wrote 2 Timothy 4:18, he got his head cut off under the persecution of Nero. But he said, hey, the Lord is, he's delivering me from every evil deed. He's delivering me from this, because the moment that my head hits the basket, my spirit, my soul go to be with the Lord in heaven, and he delivers. And so we cling to his promises. He said we're going over to the other side. God says he's going to work all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. It says in the word that momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Paul said, for I consider the sufferings of this present life not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. So we cling to his word in the midst of difficulty. We know that God is at work, because he works in our situation. He's always at work. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. As David said, I would have despaired unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God specializes in meeting us at the point of our need in the midst of the storm. So cling to his promises and remember his presence. Jesus is in the boat. Hey, listen, if you're a Christian and the Lord lives in your life, your troubles can't drown you. They can't drown you when Jesus is in your boat. And he promises, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And as David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. And remember, we go through those dark valleys. We go through those storms. We go through those difficult times. And the Lord walks us through every step of the way. We don't live there for the rest of our lives. As we've said on this program before, some people get stuck in bitterness. I talked to Tim Challies just last week or the week before, and he said you can't get stuck in a season of grief and just grieve the rest of your life. He lost his 20-year-old son suddenly, without warning, just dropped dead. And Tim and his wife and family, they have to deal with the grief. But he said you can't get stuck there. And that is a devastating thing when you get stuck. Remember, you're going through the dark valley. You're not living there. So remember the Lord's promises. Cling to his word. His promises always come true because God cannot lie. Remember his presence. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He is the God who gives peace. He is the God who says, cease striving, let go, relax, and know that I am God. And then remember, third P, remember his passion, his care, his love, his concern for you. So they wake Jesus up in the midst of the storm and they say, do you not care that we are perishing? Now you think about that. Do you not care? Have you ever said that? Maybe silently, maybe not verbalized it, but you just thought that in your heart and in your mind. God, do you not care? Why are you asleep in my storm? Why do you seem so far away from me in the midst of my suffering? Lord, do you not care? Don't you even care about me? You say you love me, but God, I don't see it. I don't feel it. I wonder if you even care about me. Now, I think that when we have that kind of attitude toward the Lord, it's almost like balling up your fist and punching him in the heart. And the Lord says to you and to me, you're asking me if I care for you? Do you see my hands? Big holes in his hands where they drove the spikes through his quivering palms. He shows you his feet, big holes in his feet, where they nailed him to the tree. Shows you his side, big hole in his side where they thrust the spear and the blood and water flowed. He said, do you see all these scars. It's because I care so much for you. And so we ask the Lord, do you not care? He does care. But then the question comes, well, if God cares so much for me, why is he not doing something in the midst of my storm, in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my problem? You know, Job asked that question. Job's life came crashing down just without warning. You talk about a hurricane hitting Job's life. It was a Category 10 hurricane that hit Job's life. And Job wanted to know why. And you read the book of Job and you find that God never answered Job's why. I love the song that says, when answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to our prayer. And the theme and the key verse in the book of Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I don't understand, God, why this is happening, and you're not answering my whys, but I choose to trust you no matter what. Now, God doesn't answer our whys most of the time. We like to ask that question, why. Why is not necessarily a good question with God because he doesn't typically answer that. It's better to ask the question, what? God, what are you doing in my life? What do you want to do, and how do you want to use this to help me grow closer to you? It's not, why is this happening? You know, we ask God why, and I think a lot of times God's answer is, you wouldn't understand it even if I explained it to you. You know, it's like trying to explain quantum physics to a three-year-old. They don't have the capacity to know how all that stuff works. We don't have the capacity to know how God is working everything together for good, so we just trust him. If you boil the Bible down to two words, the two words are, trust me. God says to you and to me, trust me. So we remember his promises in the storm. We remember his presence. He's there with us as a believer. He lives inside of us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. We remember his passion. He loves us. And a God who loves me enough to send his son to die on the cross for me, I can trust him. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. And then you remember his power. He can do anything. And Jesus, being aroused, rebuked the wind and said, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? And they were very much afraid, in awe, and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They had seen him do miracles. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him touch the leper. They had seen him raise the lame. They had seen him feed the multitudes with a little kid's lunch. They had seen so much, but they didn't know he could do this. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? I'll tell you who it is. It is the great God of the universe. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I am the God of all flesh, Jeremiah 32:27 says. Is anything too difficult for me? Hey, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your problem and your suffering, remember that God is the God who can do anything. God is the God of hope because God has no limitations. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're going to be taking your calls when we come back from the break. The number to call is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about your struggle, about your storm, and to show you where in the Word you can cling to God's promises and you can cling to his presence. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. And you can know deep down in your heart that he loves you and that he can work. He works in ways that we cannot see. And God can do anything. And your trouble, no matter how big and bad and terrible it may be, is nothing more than an 8-lane superhighway to lead you to the power of God so that you can see a miracle. The greater the problem, the greater the opportunity for a huge miracle for God to get the glory. We're going to take a quick break. Call in and we'll talk.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
Everyone agrees that time is a prized commodity. No amount of money, prestige, or possessions can come close to equaling its value. Think about it. You can't shorten it for painful experiences or lengthen it for happy ones. Time can't be bought or given away. God's in absolute control of it, and only He can add or subtract to your life. So what are you doing with this most prized commodity? God wants us to treat it as a valuable gift and to use it wisely. Jesus set the example of making the most of our time. He knew that prayer was the greatest time saver ever known. The Lord knows our schedule before it even happens, and through prayer can give us the wisdom and guidance we need for every day. Keep your eyes on God and ask Him to point out the time wasters in your life.
For real answers to real issues, log on to Steve's website, www.realanswers.com.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
The Larsons learned that a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You just can't outgive God, and He just keeps pouring back into us.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We've been talking about troubles, about problems in life. Man who is short-lived is full of trouble. That is what Job said, and we can take that to the bank because Job knew about trouble. Well, we've been looking at the story of Jesus calming the storm, the stormy sea of Galilee, one evening as He's asleep in the boat and the disciples think they're going under. Lord, do You not care that we are perishing? And the Lord, being aroused, He calmed the storm just with a word, the power of His word. Now listen, that is a huge, huge miracle, because the wind was blowing hard and blowing the water into the boat. When Jesus said, "Hush, be still," it became perfectly calm. I mean, the water and the wind just and the waves just shut down. If you know anything about being on a stormy sea, you know that the storm can stop, but it takes the water a while to get in line with that. Well, Jesus just shut it all down, boom, just like that, with a word, and it became perfectly calm. And then He asked the guys, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, He said, "You have no faith." Faith is connected to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And so when He said, "How is it that you have no faith?" Well, that was connected to what he had told them. We're going over to the other side. I didn't tell you guys we were going to go drown. I told you we were going to go to the other side. So you should have kept clinging to my word. I still remember a Bible teacher saying, what was the faith response? If you had been on that boat with Jesus that night, what would have been the faith response? The faith response would have been this. You just keep rowing the boat. You keep bailing out the water, and you row the boat, and you trust the Lord, and you say, well, he said we're going over to the other side. Obviously, all of us would have failed the test. This was a test, and they failed. Oh, why is it that you have no faith? I have no faith. And their faith was so deficient, and it was just not showing up on the radar screen because they didn't believe that Jesus could do anything in that situation. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? This is the great God of the universe. Now, really interesting. There is a Greek word that is used in this account, in Mark's account, that is used repeatedly, and it's used there to teach us something very special and important about the Lord. It's the Greek word megas, M-E-G-A-S. And M-E-G-A-S means great. And the Bible uses that word, megas, to talk about the wind. A fierce gale of wind, a megas gale of wind was blowing the water into the boat. And so it talks about the wind and it megas, and then it talks about the calm, and it became perfectly calm. It became megas calm, great calm. And then it talks about the fear that the disciples had after Jesus calmed the storm. They were megas afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Megas, megas, megas. What are we to take from that? Well, there are great storms in life. Great storms that produce great fear in our lives. But there is a great God who can speak a word in our great storm to bring about a great calm so that you might understand he is the one who can do anything, that you would understand that Jesus is the great God of the universe who can do anything in our lives. He is able. Now to him, Ephesians 3:20, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. You know, in the Old Testament, when Moses was under God's authority, led the people out of Egypt after the 10 plagues, and Pharaoh said, get out of here, and they left, and he leads them specifically to a place called Pi Hahiroth, where he was between a rock and a hard place. In front of him is the Red Sea. You can't go keep going there. And then you got no retreat. And Pharaoh comes behind him because Pharaoh said, why did I let all the slaves go? We're going to go get them. And Moses is in between a rock and a hard place, and the people are saying, hey, you know, great job, Moses. You know, we're going to all get killed, and it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians in Egypt. But what did God put him there on purpose? So that they would see God do something far beyond anything their minds could comprehend, that God could part the Red Sea and bring them across on dry land. That was an amazing miracle. You know, we talk about WWJD, what would Jesus do? And you know, when you read in the scripture what the Lord did in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we wouldn't think to do those things. The Lord's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And what would Jesus do? I don't know. I just know that I look to him. I trust him. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know that you are a delivering God. And I know that you work miracles, and I know that there is nothing too difficult for you. It's a great word to remember when you're going through troubles, when you're going through problems, when you're going through a storm. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to share a testimony, a brief testimony about how God brought you through a storm, if you'd like to give praise to the Lord, or maybe you have a question, maybe you're going through something right now and you just don't understand, and maybe, you know, you're like the disciples, your faith is really faltering, and you say, I don't know how to overcome this, and I just feel so down and so defeated and so discouraged and so depressed. Hey, those things can happen to us, and especially when we're really mourning a great loss, we can get stuck. If we're not careful, we can get stuck in the mourning. When Moses died, they mourned for him for 30 days, and then God told Joshua, hey, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, let's cross the Jordan. My plan hasn't stopped just because Moses is dead. And I know that you loved Moses with all your heart, Joshua, but we're moving on. Keep your eyes on me. You're going to see Moses again in glory, but right now we have things to do. And so it's important for us to remember life does go on, and God will not leave us, and he will not forsake us, and we can trust him. Why are you so afraid? The Lord said. Do you still have no faith? Where is your faith? Trust me. Look to me. Well, we have Joe from Wilmington, North Carolina on the line. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Actually, Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Okay.
The East Coast Marine Corps.
There you go. Well, good. Well, welcome.
Hey, thanks. I have just a quick comment. When you hear that story, you know, in Mark, and you'll see a lot of depictions, paintings, children's books, you know, where Jesus is at the bow and he's pointing out, and you can see the wind whistling through his hair, and he's pointing out to calm the storm. And I had always thought that, you know, when they wake him up, when he's back there in the stern area, they wake him up and, Jesus, you got to help us or we're going to drown. And Jesus kind of, you know, gets up, yawns, shrugs his shoulders and said, okay, all right, storm, calm down. And then he went back to sleep. That's kind of my picture of what might have happened back then. I'd like to know your observation.
Well, I think it was, you know, the Lord was obviously in control of all things. Hush, be still is two words in the Greek, and it's basically a rebuke of the storm. And so it was all a test. And so Jesus allowed them to go through that to test them. And so they failed the test. Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? It wasn't that, oh, ye of little faith. You know, he said that to Peter when he walked on the water and then sunk. Oh, ye of little faith, why is it that you have no, how is it that you doubted? But he says to these guys, you have no faith. You didn't trust me at all. And so it's better to have little faith than no faith. But he rebuked the wind and the sea. Some have said that maybe this was he allowed the devil to whip up the sea. I don't know if that is right or not. But he did rebuke the sea there, and he used it as a test. And they failed the test. But the next time that they were on the stormy sea in Matthew chapter 14, when Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter walked on the water to get to Jesus. But then seeing the wind, he became afraid and he began to sink. And he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached forth his hand and grabbed him and said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And he got him back to the boat. And here's the big difference. The first storm, they asked the question, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? The second storm, Matthew 14, they say, of a truth, you are the Son of God. and they had learned and they had grown, and they're not asking who you are anymore. They know you are the Son of God. So anything else on that, Joe?
No, so just the first part was, you know, actually, like you say, probably like a setup, and they failed that test. And then, you know, deliberately, so that would lead into the second test later on in Matthew 14, as you indicate. And now that's a final examination. Okay, what's the result? And they passed with flying colors. So, yeah.
They did. Mm-hmm. They did. Amen. Well, thank you for calling in, Joe. God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Bob from Michigan on the line. Bob, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. It's good to hear from you. Just wanted to tell you a testimony of when I was in Haiti. I went over there and rebuilt an orphanage after the earthquake in 2010.
Uh-huh.
Well, my wife, I met a beautiful Haitian woman at the orphanage. She worked there, and we got married, and it took me 2 years to get her back here. But I was over there, and they were rioting and burning tires in the street, and I had to fly out that day. So a pastor friend of mine sent a man to come pick me up, take me to the airport, and his name was Gregory, and we were on our way to the airport, and they were stoning people and everything else. Well, I had called my pastor here, and I told him, you better pray for me, because I don't know if I'm going to get out of here or not. So we were on the way to the airport, and a big water truck pulled out in front of us, and Gregory had just a little car, and we could see the black smoke where they're burning tires. They stack them about three or four high and start them on fire. You can't get through them. But this water truck hit those tires and just knocked them out of the way. I mean, tires flew, sparks flew, flames flew, and we were able to get through that. And then all of a sudden, it started thundering and lightning, and we could see the stones and the sticks laying alongside the road where the people just threw them down and went back into their houses. And we made it to the airport so I could fly out of there. But it was really God's hand moving. Nobody could ever tell me that that wasn't God that
Amen.
Brought that water truck. And then the thunder and the lightning and the rain. And like I say, it was just a miraculous thing. And
Amen.
I was scared, but I knew that, you know, the Lord was with me.
Well, you know, as far as that goes, Bob, the Apostle Paul got scared too when he was on the ship going to Rome. You know, the angel came and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul." Well, you only tell somebody do not be afraid if they're afraid. So Paul said in Corinthians, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." So, you know, fear is a normal response that we have, but fear can be overcome with faith. And thank you for sharing that story. That is an encouragement that God hears us when we pray, and it's good to get other people to pray for us. When we're in those difficult spots, we get other people to pray for us, and we say, "Hey, I'm going through a difficulty. This is a big storm. Pray that I could keep my eyes on Jesus." You know, Peter did great walking on the water as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. You take your eyes off Jesus and you put your eyes on the circumstances. And hey, circumstances can be very, very fearful and scary. But as the Lord said, hey, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. So fix your eyes on me, the author and perfecter of faith. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shree, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. I want to encourage you to shine and share. This day, it's all you have to live. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how He's had mercy on you, and God will use you. I look forward to being with you again next time. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.